What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Doing business like a CEO while saving like a CFO.
Staples has all the supplies you need to run your business like a boss at prices that'll make your bookkeeper smile.
Now that is an achievement.
Everything from markers and pens to 2019 desk calendars.
And right now, a 12-pack of Sharpie markers and an 8-pack of Expo dry erase markers are only $4.99 each.
At Staples, where there's a whole lot in store. Ends 1/19/19 in store only.
It's that 9 to 5 time to feel alive. This is Band from Ringside.
Tonight's on the Band from Ringside podcast, Raw sucked, SmackDown sucked, everything sucked. We're doing a live Q&A on Band from Ringside.
Not bad, right?
Just doing what I can.
Talent takes for care of itself.
Ditch that 9 to 5. It's time to feel alive. Hello, Marks, and welcome to the Band from Ringside podcast. As always, I'm your host, Bill Veggie, a.k.a. Biz Smarkey. And to my right, we have Two Beer, Zach Pullman. What's going on, Two Beer?
Not a lot, man. I'm ready to get in these Q&As. We got a whole list of questions. I'm very excited. We're doing something different tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a special edition of the Band from Ringside podcast. To his right, as always, we have Jason Cornelius Bell. What's going on, JCB?
Allow us to crack open the good book of Band from Ringside, volume 83, chapter 3, verse 14, and the good smart saith, hashtag boo the heels. It's all good, baby. I'm excited for this special edition of Band from Ringside. We're going to do something a little different instead of me just bitching the whole hour, so I'm ready to go.
I think that you'll probably end up bitching the entire hour, though. And to his right, we have Murray, the Murray Man. Murray, what's going on, Merman?
Not much. I'm doing good. Just so everybody knows, we just dropped the second episode of BFR Banged Up on our YouTube channel.
Hell yeah.
We're talking about, these guys are talking about Vince McMahon blowing his quads.
At the Royal Rumble.
Rumble.
Blowing his quads.
Wow. 2005. I also wanted to throw out there that I got a buddy, Connor. He's a lifelong wrestling fan. Good dude. I've known him for a long time. He just ran into some issues. He got some melanoma tumor in his brain, and he's looking for some help. So I'm going to put some links up on our Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, so you guys can check out his GoFundMe. And, if you can help out, awesome. If you can't, that's, fine too, but he can use all the help he can get. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well.
How about where you can, guys? Unfortunately, this is the state of healthcare in America today, but if you can help out Murray's buddy Connor, we would appreciate. I'm going to help out. I think BFR as a team should help out, and we're going to do everything we can. God bless your buddy Connor, and hopefully we can fight through this. We are coming at you from the exquisite Shock City Studios in downtown St. Louis, Missouri, with Sam the Mauler Maul.
Mr. Perfect's in the house.
Turning the knobs tonight. We usually...
Hey, wait. Since we're going to do something a little different, let me jump in for 30 seconds. You jokers was real funny last week when your boy was gone. Now your boy's back, okay?
What do we say?
What did we say? Oh, he'll appreciate this joke. He liked it. Jason's a funny black man. He appreciates the racist joke.
I'm blacked out for every episode. I have no idea what
I
said.
I don't remember what happened.
For the record, Mr. Perfect for me is a compliment. It is a high compliment. I love Mr. Perfect as a kid, and I always thought he was one of, if not the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
Sure.
I'm saying of all time. So when I say Mr. Perfect, I say that as a compliment. I don't know what your boy is. Your boy is probably one of them little sheep that like to go with all the faces. And, everybody is good. Oh, Hulk Hogan's the greatest thing ever. Yeah, okay. You see how great Hulk Hogan is right now. Bottom line is, for me, Mr. Perfect is a compliment.
Spitting gum and swatting it away.
That's no right. Nut November hit J. Bell hard, man. He is coming through
whoa,
hot.
Whoa. Jason got his nut in, baby.
Before we get too far into it, we're going to go with that day one-ish sponsor. That's Soul Taco. Soul Taco, baby. That's that Korean-Mexican fusion food that you never knew that you needed. They got places in the U-City Loop in St. Louis, Missouri. Two food trucks driving around St. Louis, Missouri. A place in Chesterfield, Missouri. Columbia, Missouri. Champaign, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, two more places showing up in Chicago, another one in Chicago, Illinois, and Naperville, Illinois. So get yourself some Soul Taco. It's so good, guys. I promise you, if you've never had it, if you listen to this all the time, you can testify. Fast forward if you need to. If you don't need to, I'm telling you guys, you have to get this stuff. It's so good.
Spicy pork burrito. I'm going tomorrow night.
Nobody that's ever gotten it has ever regretted getting it.
Steak burrito.
It's like sex. Meat.
Now, see, we're having arguments kimchi. Right here. We're having arguments
fries.
Right here.
The kimchi fries are off the chain.
We got steak burrito versus spicy pork burrito. Personally, I'm a spicy pork man, but I've also gotten the chicken.
Oh, that's
and I'm telling you can barely tell the difference because it's so fucking good because the flavor's so good. So go get yourself some Soul Taco. They're a friend of the show. They're a sponsor of the show. Second off, we have JJ Twigs Pizza on Southampton. It's a great place to watch a Blues game. They have bucket specials. Not only bucket specials, it's a great place to watch a game. It's a great place to have a pizza. They have every single JJ Twigs. Now, there's a bunch of them out there, but every single one is allowed to curate their own menu, and the JJ Twigs on Southampton has the best one. I've been to quite a few of them, they are they're really good pizzas, guys. I like the Super Mario, of course. I like the Gravy Train. I like the Chuck Berry is also another favorite of mine. So go get yourself some JJ Twigs. We also have JJ Twigs gift cards to give out, so holler out at us.
Yeah, we gave out a bunch last Sunday at the Four Hands Wrestling Show, but we got a few left, and if you guys submit a question here on, you know, during the live show, you're eligible to get a gift card. So
exactly, and these are the sponsors that make it they make it possible for us to do this podcast. So we love them. They're friends of the show. They're sponsors of the show. They don't do it because they're wrestling fans, and they don't do it because they're making a ton of money. They do it because they understand what we're doing. They understand that you guys are wrestling fans, and they want everybody to help everybody out. So that's what the point is. And without further ado, let's get to our Q&A.
No, that's you! Ring the bell! Ring the bell!
Ring the fucking bell!
Ref!
We're doing all Q&A tonight. Hey, Zach, what's the first question?
First question is from Revisionist Booking on Twitter. They were the first ones to respond whenever we put this thing out. There's a lot of great questions tonight, but this might be my favorite question.
It's pretty smart.
So,
yeah, I was about to say smarter.
From Revisionist Booking on Twitter, book the cast of Golden Girls with women's wrestlers.
Can do. I thought a lot about this for the last 24 hours. So with the Golden Girls, you have the old lady Sophia. You have Bea Arthur, who was
Rose. Dorothy. Dorothy.
Yeah, she was Dorothy. Rose was Betty White, and Rue McClanahan was the slut.
Yes, Blanche Devereaux.
Okay, so
Jesus,
Blanche
Christ.
Is Mandy Rose.
Okay. Yeah, run them down for you. I got my own picks here.
Okay. I got Blanche as Mandy Rose. She's the slut. As the Dorothy, who's the kind of the main character, you could say. I mean, even though Golden Girls, there was four people.
It was an ensemble cast.
Right.
Right. I would give Charlotte the B. Arthur part.
Okay. 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 Fair.
The old lady part, I would give to Sophia. I would give to Natty. And, man.
Who's Betty White?
This leaves Betty,
Betty
White.
Betty White is Rose.
Yeah, I know. Rose is the tough one.
I think I've got mine for Rose.
I think it's too easy to give it to Becky Lynch just because Becky Lynch is so much in the forefront of our minds.
No, it's got to be somebody ditzy, somebody that isn't always, you know, with everything. I just came up with one.
I was thinking along the same way that you were thinking. I'm going to give Rose to Alicia Fox.
Right. I think those are fair. Those are good.
That's fair.
What's great is that they're all different from mine. So that's super fun.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
So cool. The first one I went with was Blanche because she was one of my favorites because she's the sex kitten of the group. So as the sex kitten, I picked Lana.
So, okay, no problem with that.
Even though, like,
Lana's married, though.
Yeah, but she, like, you can tell she's a freak.
All right, I won't fight it.
Me and Rusev ain't boys now.
Blanche was married for a very long time in kayfabe. Blanche was married, style. And her husband George passed away.
Right.
So she was at a long-term marriage. So, I mean, R.I.P. Rusev. Yeah, yeah. Lana's getting busy when you die. All right. Like, that's happening.
Okay, so you got Blanche as Lana.
Blanche as Lana.
All right.
Rose, I chose Bailey, even though I think Bailey's...
Oh, that's a way better Rose than mine. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a way better Rose than
just
mine.
Just because she's super bubbly and sweet and innocent. I think Bailey's a little bit sharper of a tool, but, like... You know, Bailey, this is your life. Didn't make her look that great. So, Rose is Bailey. Dorothy, I actually had Charlotte and I crossed it out, but then I chose Mickey James because Dorothy was kind of the mom of the group, even though Sophia was the oldest one in kayfabe. So,
very good.
Dorothy's Mickey James. I told you I spent some time. And Sophia, I picked Alexa Bliss because in reality, non kayfabe style, Sophia was a younger actress than Dorothy. In the show.
Don't, I know that because my mom always said that. My mom was always like, you know, Bea Arthur is older than whatever the name's.
Yeah, whoever the character was. So, right. And also, Sophia would always make fun of those girls and talk about how hot she was whenever she was younger. So, like, that's something that Alexa Bliss would, like, totally do.
I can see that. Look, I'm not even going to lie. I watched Golden Girls, but I didn't watch it like that. I couldn't even tell you the name.
You
names.
Ain't never jerked it to Golden Girls?
No, I'm going to go ahead and say that. Sam right on cue.
28 minutes Sam ago. With a physical blow.
Say, I'm hit. No, I would defer to you two jokers on this. I'm not even going to come up. I was going to say Asuka was going to play Betty White just because how Asuka kayfabe style has been, you know, made them look stupid. In the ring on
not
multiple occasions.
But
that was the way I was going to go.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Sophia, old one, right?
Yes.
Mae Young. I mean, come on.
There you go.
I'm just going to go with Mae Young.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. We're talking about all time divas now.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because mine aren't current.
All right. That's fine.
Betty White would be Molly Holly.
All right.
She, okay. Other than when she was doing that whole, you know, no stuff. She was super sweet and innocent and bubbly.
Also stayed hot because, I mean...
She's super hot still. Yeah. The slut, Lita.
Yeah, easy way up on
I'm
that.
I'm going with my attitude error here.
Well, no, that's an easy
she's
way
a Hoosier.
Up. No, but it doesn't matter.
In kayfabe, though, hey, she was a total
you're
fucking
right. There's
slut.
There's no wrong answers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Come on!
I'm not trying to show in your picks.
No, that was
Don't
a good pick.
Give me a grade or anything, man.
No, because I'll say, look, Golden Girls.
You get an A+, Murray.
And then, who am I missing?
You're missing Dorothy.
Dorothy was, okay, so...
Bea Arthur. Tall drink
Sophia's
of water.
Sophia's daughter. Yes, tall drink of water indeed. Dude, with some Metamucil mixed in.
I was getting ready to say, this is going down a bad path. This, I don't like this.
Metamucils. I don't know. I don't know. Help me out with an attitude era.
Tamina.
No, to attitude era, dude.
Attitude, because I went with attitude era for the most part, so...
Medusa.
Medusa? All right. Well, yeah, I guess I could. I
was going to say Trish just because it's the first person.
Trish would work too. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Trish is not a bad Dorothy.
Trish was the centerpiece of the women's division for Absolutely. Quite some time. So, I mean, there's something to that. Dorothy was basically the glue that kept the Golden Girls together.
I think about Dorothy, I think about her being a tall drink of water, which is why I went straight with Charlotte. But hey, you know, all you guys were answers for
China.
China would be a great Dorothy. Why'd you say China?
Because I just did.
Okay, try as your Dorothy. All right, what's the next question?
All right, next question is from M. Wallace Seals, Wallace Seals 17 on Twitter. Give him a follow. He's a good count. So why does Vince hate Balor so much? Couple questions here. Question one, why does Vince hate Balor so much? And why not bring the club as the faction they should be? Undisputed Era is the best in WWE, but if you do that club right, they are the NWO easily.
I know the answer. Go ahead, Murray.
We'll go clockwise.
So why does Vince hate Finn Balor? Because he's not a giant guy. Unfortunately, though, what he doesn't see is how unbelievably ripped and in shape he actually is. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that he hates him. But he's just not a big guy. He's got every bit of the personality he needs to be a star. But Vince, you know, he's in that mid-card thing. Why don't they book the Balor Club? And go up against...
Yes, why not bring the Balor Club as the faction that they should be?
They absolutely should. I mean, they've been poking at it for a long time. they kind of sometimes every once in a great while show them in the same room together, at least. I don't know. I think it's another thing for some reason Vince doesn't like factions, and I don't get it because I think that would save everything right now if they did it properly.
I think I know why Vince doesn't like factions. I think Vince doesn't like factions because they don't sell as many, they don't sell as much merch, because if you have individuals.
Not anymore, though.
If you have individuals that sell their own shirts, if you have individuals that can sell their own segments, then you don't need factions.
But if they do,
Vince has become more and more corporatized ever since the WWE went public. What, 15 years ago?
Raw is 3 hours long. If they can't do factions right, while also doing the individuals, you know, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns were all selling their own merchandise while as the Shield selling merchandise. It can be done. And if they do it right, those factions can actually get guys over because of the group they're in and the feuds that they end up with other factions.
You're not fighting with me. You're fighting with Vince.
For sure. For sure. But that's my take on that.
I'm with you. I agree completely. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Go ahead, Zach.
All right, two here.
Zach.
So, just like Murray said, Vince hates Balor because he's small. He might not hate him, but he doesn't see anything with him. He is not a big guy, and he's quite a small guy, actually. But unfortunately, he's not Rey Mysterio Jr. So he's
How
just,
do we know?
Yeah, we don't know, but
he's never gotten a chance. Vince is all back.
Like, just imagine, like, fucking Big Cass got a better push than Finn Balor ever has. And
no, let's not go that far.
At least Vince seemed hotter on him. Big Cass or Bobby Lashley. He seems hotter on those guys than he does on Finn Balor. Finn Balor's just there to lose to Baron Corbin every week right now. It's miserable. But this kind of gets tied into
Finn Balor did win the first Universal Championship of all time.
That's all I'm saying.
But since then, nothing happens. Okay. And I
agree with you on that.
Yeah, but everything's
timing.
Yeah. And I think Vince threw Triple H a bone and said, yeah, we'll give your boy the title. And then when he got hurt, he's like, well, all right, well, we're done with him.
Okay, so everything is timing. What better time than right now than to give Finn Balor a push? You don't have Braun Strowman. You don't have Roman Reigns.
You don't have any faces.
Go ahead.
You got Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins.
I have a rebuttal to this. Go ahead.
Golden opportunity to go ahead and at least put him in a position of mid-card. Upper mid card. If you don't want him in the title scene, I can understand that. But Raw is on just pure bodies, physical bodies that can go out on a week to week basis and be there. You have Finn Balor, and it's right there in front of you. Please go ahead.
Okay, so I also think that I don't think that Vince hates Finn Balor. I think that Finn Balor was a guy that was sitting in the background while Roman and Braun Strowman were taking the lead, right? So now that Roman and Braun Strowman were that they're gone.
And Brock.
This is a way, and Brock.
Yeah, there you go.
And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Right.
So this is a way for me to work in this week's Raw, which sucked terribly.
Damn.
Is that they felt the need. I felt that WWE felt the need this week to build new faces, which they tried to do with Elias and Finn Balor. They did the completely wrong way. They had Elias.
So you see the look on my face, right? They did it ass backwards. If you wanted to build it, this is not the way to do it.
They had Elias go out and face a bunch of heels, get his ass beat. They had Finn Balor go out to face a bunch of heels. He got his ass beat.
Yeah, they booked their fucking baby faces like nerds and wussies.
But they,
I said wussies.
In WWE's defense on this week's Raw being so bad is that they might have thought in a fucked up, warped way of thinking that if we have Finn Balor and Elias go out and get their asses beat this week, then next week we can come back and we have two big faces that can face off against Lashley, McIntyre, and Corbin. What I don't like, and this is going a little bit away of the question, what I don't like is having McIntyre seem like he's Baron Corbin's lackey.
That's
a really bad way to do it. But what I can see what they were thinking. I've been watching wrestling long enough to see what they were thinking, and what they were thinking were that if we make Elias and Finn Balor sympathetic, we can make them bigger baby faces next week. When really, all you have to do is put Finn Balor out there in a competitive match against a competitive guy like Drew McIntyre. Give them 15 minutes. I'm not even asking for 20 minutes. Give him 15 minutes. Let Finn Balor be competitive, and then let Drew McIntyre do something kind of heelish and go over, and you can accomplish the exact same thing without giving us a terrible 3 hours of wrestling.
With Baron Corbin and Finn Balor as the main event.
I mean, I'm a Baron Corbin sympathizer. Like, I think he's been doing really good lately, but Raw should not be 3 hours of Baron Corbin.
No. Thank you. Like, it should never be centered around Baron Corbin.
I mean, he can get 1-2 segments. That's at the fine. Most. But
the,
it should not
the universal
it was 3 hours of Baron
should
Corbin
be where this is about.
And Baron Corbin should not be. And I understand that you're out Roman Reigns, you're out Braun Strowman, but
there's plenty of talent. That's a deep, deep
this
roster.
This is the deepest roster they've ever had.
It's
in their
the deepest
life.
Roster they've ever had. Obviously, I do think that Vince does not trust Finn Balor. Even though I think that if he gave Finn Balor right for WrestleMania, he gave him and Roman 25 minutes, and Finn Balor and Roman Reigns together burnt the house down.
Agreed.
Yeah. And everybody was ready for it.
And the last match I remember that Finn was in that was good was whenever AJ did that impromptu match. And
that was awesome.
That was the last time that we've seen anything. So
it was great.
But this segues into another question from longtime listener, Willie Sumner. What's up, Willie?
This guy's a pro.
New Japan Pro Wrestling is full of factions and teams, which it is. Everyone is in a faction. LIJ, Chaos, Suzuki Gun, my low key favorite Taguchi Gun faction.
Is that with Michael Elgin?
Elgin's in there, Cobb's in there, yeah. Tanahashi's in there, and of course Taguchi. He's like, right. I low key love Taguchi.
That dude's silly.
He was the 69th. Junior heavyweight, so he put 69 and everything, which like nice. My inner child, you know, nice. Appreciates.
Nice.
So nice. As Willie says, do you think WWE would benefit from doing more of this? And I think we've kind of gotten into it. I think we all agree that yes. And he tied into something. I personally would like to see women and men in the same faction, similar to Sanity. And I think that's great. One of the things that I see a lot of is these constant turns that don't mean anything. Face, heel, and then the next week it doesn't even matter that they quote-unquote turned because there was no actual heat behind it. They were just trying to generate heat for the 30-second clip for YouTube or whatever. Actually have some factions, and you have some tension because, like in New Japan, Chaos will not defend a title against another Chaos member. So while, you know,
Okada.
While Okada is holding the IWGP Championship, well, Will Ospreay cannot fight for that championship, even though he technically could because he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. But because he's with Chaos, he can't. That's why we see guys like whenever Jay White leaves Chaos, it creates a rift and it creates like a huge deal. And now we have Jay White in one of the main events of the fucking Tokyo Dome here on January 4th. So I think build some fucking stables. You can create some good factions. You can get some tension. You can have faction on faction. You can have interfaction. You know, stuff going on, intergender stuff, whatever. It's good for business.
I think I would love to see factions in WWE the way that New Japan does factions, insofar as they don't always have to come out together. But if a guy comes out by himself, he's wearing a, you know, if Bobby Fish, like
Evolution.
Yep.
If Randy Orton came out, he's wearing an Evolution
shirt. He's rocking
shirt.
Evolution shit. I liked on NXT this week where EC3 came out and said, I don't care about Undisputed Era. I just want Bobby Fish, which would be fine as long as Bobby Fish comes out by himself and he's like, hey, I'm with Undisputed Era.
Which I'm sure he will.
I hope that he does. Like, I like factions that way. I mean, before the NWO got out of control, that's kind of the way the NWO worked.
Yeah, then eventually every top guy was in the NWO, and then it was fucking
right.
polluted
and
terrible.
Sucked. Right, and that's not the way
like
I wanted.
Five different NWOs.
And LWO. And I also don't mind it if, I mean, it seems that factions are always kind of, they're heel. They're always heels. Like, you never see very many babyface factions. Like
New Day.
Every time, well,
pancakes, motherfucker.
Every time that Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler were beating down some babyface at the end of Raw, there was no baby face that just came out like for the altruism of saying, hey, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to defend a good guy's honor just because he's getting his ass beat.
Like Sting would always come out. Anytime a baby face was getting beat up, Sting was the guy.
I was going
to, and he's like, get the fuck out of here.
I was going to piggyback on that real quick.
Just because he was a good guy.
Dusty Rhodes, Road Warriors, these were the baby face faction, but that was the 80s. You know what I'm saying? You don't see a baby face faction like that now or in the 90s or, you know, in the
aughts, whatever.
Because
there's hardly any baby faces anymore also.
You don't really see it that much in New Japan, though, either. Like, it's mostly heel. Like,
I would consider Chaos the babyface faction.
Chaos is the premier babyface.
And then Taguchi and his boys would be the other. Everybody else
Taguchi and those guys, they're not really.
I mean,
they're not in the grand scheme of things. They're not of consequence.
To me, they're not. I mean, Jeff Cobb is up and coming, Michael Elgin is Elgin.
Well, I mean, Tanahashi is still he's still the ace.
That's your centerpiece, obviously. Well,
Taguchi is still, you know, he was, you know, if you're watching 10 years ago, he's phenomenal and he's still good. But, like, you know, I know what you're saying, though. Suzuki
Gunn. It's a heel thing to do.
And LIJ. LIJ is the most popular faction. And then you have the Elite. So I would say those guys are also face faction and they're huge. So, I mean, I think the face faction's alive and well in New Japan.
But the Elite in New Japan, as they've manifested themselves on screen in New Japan, don't necessarily act very face-ish.
Yeah, but they do have foils, so they come out as the face because...
Right, so they're only the face because they're going against heels.
The old school Bullet Club. And I think the only thing you could argue about them not being babyface is they're confident. You know, because...
Yeah, it comes off cocky, which I'm sure it is, but I agree.
So what do you think about WWE factions, Murray?
I mean, currently, obviously, there really isn't any. Undisputed Era is doing a phenomenal job. If they did it right, like they kind of started doing in NXT, Sanity would be fun, too. But I personally, I'm a massive, massive, massive faction fan because I feel like it's a good way to boost all of the talent. Because they can all have inner feuds, like you said. They can have their own little inside things going on. You can base storylines in bigger packages. Instead of trying to get all these separate characters to have this intertwining story, you have these factions, and it groups the stories, so it makes it so where, you know, on a three-hour Raw, there's four segments, and it's faction-based. It would just be cleaner, in my opinion.
And you'd get some more multi-man matches.
Agreed.
And guys would get hurt less.
Six-man matches. I mean, just to piggyback on basically what everybody said, pro faction, number one. Number two, why I'm pro faction, it's because you have so many things that can come off of it. Like you said, intergender matches, so on and so forth. One of the biggest faction-on-faction that I can think of off the top of my head was DX versus the Nation of Domination.
Absolutely.
I mean, that shit, I mean, not only was it good matches when you had Rock versus Triple H, but then you had tag team matches, the whole shebang when they were doing parodies on each other. That was absolutely comedy fucking central.
Xbox and Triple H were in blackface.
Road Dogg doing D-Lo.
You had the croc and you had the, you know, the big ass painted eyebrow and shit.
Road Dogg doing D-Lo was the best thing ever in pro wrestling.
And there are, yes.
The man smacks himself down.
That's so good.
Like, oh my God.
My favorite Attitude Era sign, somebody put a D'Lo Brown sign and they put the head so you could slide it back and forth. And it was just D'Lo Brown's head fucking going back and forth.
One of the most underrated mid-carders of all time.
Okay.
Oh, so good.
And so that's just the example of what you could do. Vince, and I probably don't want to even admit it, but I think Bill might be right on this. Vince is more worried about selling the individual t-shirts versus the group as the whole. But, I mean, you see what Undisputed Era is doing.
What I'm saying.
You just have to go ahead and commit. If they're going to, God forbid, commit to Corbin, Dolph, and Drew, then just commit to it. Have Drew come in. Bobby Lashley, okay, there's your craptastic four horsemen, whatever you want to call
them. What's the number one t-shirt in the world right now, though, just proven on Black Friday?
Bullet Club.
Or Elite.
Whatever.
That's a faction.
Yeah.
That's the number one t-shirt in the world. You shouldn't have a problem.
On pro wrestling tees, which look out.
Get them.
Look out world. BFR is going to have a pro wrestling tee.
Get him, my boy. That's that segue shit. I got to have to host next time Bill's gone.
We got them pro wrestling tees. We got a few of them out there, guys. And you guys are going to like them.
And so actually, we're all wearing them in our new YouTube video, Banged Up, episode 2. We're all wearing different BFR t-shirts.
Yeah, so right now, Mr. Perfect's wearing
our sweatshirt.
Did we get a shot at Mr. Perfect yet? Okay.
Yeah,
there you go. There you go. There you go, Mr. Perfect. All right.
Live. Show him that dick.
Yes.
No, don't show him the dick. We're live. Shut this whole shit down.
I could edit it later.
Yeah, it's too late on that.
Just a couple pixels.
It's
right.
Going to be really hard to blur that one out.
Let's say it came down to this.
All right, we better move on.
Yeah, let's keep it going.
Let's keep it going. This is from Eric Elledge at EricE76 on Twitter. Do you think by this time next year we will see an overhaul of WWE programming?
I absolutely think so. I think they're already trying to start moving that direction. You know, I think they're doing a lot of shitty stuff, clearly, on WWE's product. But I also see peppering of them really trying to try new things within the last 10, 15 years anyways. They're being a little more edgy than they used to, you know, as far as the whole PG era thing. I think it will, or maybe it's just me hoping that they will. But yeah, I mean, I think they will. They're trying to build brand new stars right now. And, you know, I think like with Elias, if they do it right and they get him just right, he could be a star for a long, long time. He's got a little bit of The Rock in him. He's got a little bit of a lot of the favorites that I've had throughout the years. So if they do them just right, they've got stars ready to fucking go.
Stone Cold said on his podcast a couple weeks ago, if he could come back, if he would come back, there was two options for him. It was either Brock Lesnar, because he never got to do it, or Elias, because he sees him as a fucking superstar.
He is. And, like, you know, he's not there just yet.
Hopefully he'd be there putting him over.
Right. Oh, yeah. He would. Great. He would. I don't even think that's a
question.
Actually,
I hope he wouldn't put Brock afterwards. Over. I don't want to put Brock over, but he can put over Elias.
He'll put over Elias and then stun him afterwards and then have a beer with him and does what Stone Cold does. But yeah, I think a year from now, hopefully, you know, as Vince starts to transition more into the XFL, hopefully someone like you know, maybe not Triple H, but I love what Hunter. He's doing with NXT.
I hope it's Hunter.
Yeah, that's
man,
what I'm saying.
Look,
so if
y'all,
it's
y'all
in his control,
too nice, man. You're too nice.
Hey.
Okay, see, this is what the problem is. You keep ignoring the facts that keep smacking you in the face like a dick on a bad porno, okay? The
damn.
Fact
Holy
is, God, number one, no, 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 here's Jesus the cold water reality, Christ. Gentlemen. The fact number one is that Vince has certain guys that he likes and other people that he don't. Vince has certain girls that he likes and other girls that he doesn't.
You mean the white ones and the pretty ones?
With blonde hair and big boobs. He sticks to the fucking script. When you have opportunities to put the next person over, you fuck it up every goddamn time. Samoa Joe comes out and cuts a hot ass promo on Jeff Hardy. I mean hot. I was like, man, goddamn. But 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whatever, in fucking Cincinnati, you got him tapping out to AJ Styles again.
And a week before that, you had him out in 30 seconds in Survivor Series.
Okay, yeah. Come on. Man, I mean, y'all being too nice.
But there's a lot more that goes into that. Not, like,
but
I mean,
Saudi Arabia and Vince McMahon, and he may not
come
back.
Come on, man. Y'all being too nice. Okay? Last week, y'all was talking about how great the Daniel Bryan Brock Lesnar match was. That was just AJ Brock Lesnar. It was just a different guy playing AJ Styles. Stop being naive. Ain't shit gonna change. Vince got his money.
I thought we were trying to do something different tonight.
I thought we weren't doing that.
Go ahead, Zach.
I'm scared now.
Not too nice.
I forgot the question.
Is WWE going to overhaul?
Oh, are they going to overhaul?
No. Are they no. I think you guys are taking the question.
Here's the answer. Are they going to overhaul programming?
Programming.
And specifically,
I had a way different answer than this.
So,
like, my answer was not going to be yelling about dick slapping in faces. Go ahead.
You're welcome.
My answer is yes and no. Yes, they have to completely rework their entire road schedule because they are no longer Monday, Tuesday, and then whenever it comes to takeovers and stuff, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or whatever, they're going to have to rework everything. They're going to move stars from Raw to SmackDown because as much as Raw is the A show now, or at least in their opinion, they're going to have to move top talent to SmackDown because they need views. When I say no, we're still going to get this same bullshit. I said it 2 months ago whenever this announcement was made. They're going to cater to the fucking Walmart crowd. They're not going to do a better job. Anybody that thinks that they're going to do better because they have more exposure, they're dumbing it down for the common denominator. This is not going to get better until you guys stop giving them money.
What I was going to say
from the guy that's canceled the WWE subscription,
and I'm missing NXT UK. I couldn't even get a pirated feed this week.
That's because I won't give you my password.
It was good.
Be done. The question was about WWE programming, and I think that they are going to overhaul because I think when it's not a pay-per-view week, I think that when they start announcing stuff, like, whereas Raw is always the jump off, when they start doing, for example, Lars Sullivan vignettes. And Lars, and
you mean him going on racist diatribes a la Ringside News?
Dog, you stole my thunder.
But when they start doing vignettes for new wrestlers and stuff like that, it's not going to begin happening on Raw. It's going to begin happening on SmackDown. Also, SmackDown in the next year is going to be on network television. It's not going to be on Fox Sports 1. It's going to be on Fox.
We don't know that for sure.
It's on Fox to start.
Yeah,
that's what they've said that.
Okay, it'll be on Fox.
It's on Fox. It's on Channel 2 here in town.
Whatever it is.
They're definitely going to give the shot.
Okay.
So Raw programming or WWE programming will change within the next year, or as the tweeter said, it will happen very soon where they start doing shit differently. Hold on, I'm not done. Just give me a little bit.
I'll raise my hand.
That doesn't mean that's going to change forever. I mean, Vince always panics when shit doesn't go right initially. If he tries to push somebody new and that somebody new doesn't start going through the way that he wants them to, Vince always reverts back to his old shit. He'll call in John Cena, or he'll call in Kane, or he'll do something that he thinks is going to...
He'll call Steve Austin and give him a boatload of money.
Not even Steve Austin, but he'll go to Kane or...
Taker.
I mean, he'll do something, not even HBK. I mean, I'm just talking about something more ready-made. I mean, it used to be, but HBK has only wrestled once in the last 8 years. I'm talking about Roman Reigns. Like, he'll put the belt on Finn Balor, and then Finn Balor gets hurt, and he'll be like, oh, fuck it, I need to put it back on Seth Rollins, or I need to put it on Roman Reigns or something. He'll put it on a sure thing, and Seth Rollins is not necessarily a sure thing, but he thinks about Roman Reigns as a sure thing. He'll think about Kane as a sure thing. He does. I mean, why else would he do it? He wouldn't keep putting Kane in there unless it actually worked.
Okay, so you're kind of making my point, but I didn't go with the programming portion of it.
I love it when I make a good point and Jason says, well, you're kind of making my point.
Well, you are kind of making my point. I just said it. Screamingly so. Okay?
What point?
The point is, okay, if you're just talking about programming where we talk about USA versus Fox versus whatever else they could possibly go on, yeah, you might want to lean it towards SmackDown. If you really want SmackDown to be the quote-unquote A show, okay, you put the talent over there. But then why not have SmackDown at least win a couple of matches at Survivor Series? I mean, you know, start to set it up to where
I think
the
slow
build happens, and then instead of just all of a sudden, happens.
I have an answer to that. And mark this podcast down. I think they're going to rename SmackDown. I don't think that they want to put SmackDown on Fox television with the name SmackDown. Really? And they will point to it by saying, well, SmackDown lost all these matches, and now we're going to rename it something else. And they'll name it like...
Velocity.
Piss Pants.
SmackDown.
Dude.
Yeah, just
Impact.
I say, the Rock is rolling over in his grave right now listening to this.
Fuck the Rock. It's always been a dumb name. It's always been a dumb... SmackDown has always been a dumb name. You're taking off your headphones?
Oh, he's going to fight. He's going to fight.
Always been a dumb name for a show. When you talk to a person outside the wrestling community and you say,
okay, stop.
Hey, I watch
that's
SmackDown.
That's your problem right
They're
there.
They're like, SmackDown?
That's your problem.
Why is it called SmackDown? I had this problem because I was supposed to go to a work event one night and I needed to ask somebody to cover it for me. And I was like, hey, I can't go to this because I'm going to SmackDown Live. And
which
they were
sounds,
like,
to what? You sounds like,
what are you
going
to do?
It's like saying,
it's whatever.
Yeah, it's like saying, it's
but to them,
like
they were
nothing.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's your first mistake right there. You went outside the bubble. Yeah. Stay
all
in
right.
the bubble.
We got to move on.
And that's going to do it for our three counts. Go ahead, Jason.
Thank you, sir. Our third sponsor this evening is from F&B Eatery on 3453 Southampton, part of our quote-unquote Southampton Mafia. Like I said a couple weeks ago, if you want to stay current of what they're doing, Facebook is the way to go. They just put their website together. They just got on Twitter. I believe
had the patty
it is.
Melt there.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I liked
smash
it.
Smash.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I'm a guy that likes his smash burgers. Other people don't. Not understand those who don't.
If I can't understand it at all.
If you do, I can't either, but that's neither here nor there. If you are one of those persons that like a good smash burger, it's going to come out hot, fries are hot, the whole shebang, go out, check out my boy Mike at F&B Eatery at 3453 Southampton. Like I said, usually they have some sort of special. Usually it's a breakfast special that I throw out on Band from Ringside Podcast on Facebook. So usually look for that. Instead of just looking for me to do it, just sign up for their Facebook page. Sign up for Twitter. Sign up for their webpage or whatever the case may be. But like I said, go check them out. F&B Eatery 3453 Southampton.
This is Band from Ringside.
All right, what's another question?
All right, so now we are on to the Friends of BFR, who are our lifeblood community. So if you guys have not logged into Facebook, maybe you're not even a Facebook user, create a fucking account.
Get them.
And just use it to fucking get on Friends of BFR. This is our favorite thing whenever there's takeovers, whenever there's pay-per-views. We're live every time, and we have a lot of fun with this.
There's usually about 200, 230 comments, something like that. Like we have fun on there. Everybody has fun on there. If you're watching a pay-per-view live, if you're watching a Raw live, we have fun on there.
It's, yeah.
Please get on there. Friends of BFR.
It's a safe space.
It is a safe space.
Depending on how I feel that day. But
I don't want to post this shit on my news feed. So it's a secret group. Nobody will see it.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, Justin Sampson, longtime friend of BFR. He asked a great question.
Friend of BFR.
This is also one of my favorite questions because I have had the answer to this since it happened, then, now, and forever.
I ain't gonna have to host next time.
If there was one angle that you would have booked different from the Attitude Era, what would it be and how would you have done it?
You know the answer?
My answer, and Attitude Era might throw you off, but I'm thinking of that era. Starrcade 1997.
Uh-uh.
The biggest fucking draw for WCW ever.
Oh, I know where you're
Sting
going.
Versus Hogan. We had a buildup of a year and a half of Sting in the rafters. Sting coming down from the ceiling, not saying a word, just beating everybody's asses. He was the coolest thing in wrestling. I had Sting t-shirts. I was Sting 3 years in a row for Halloween.
That explains a lot.
Get it out.
It does.
Get it out.
So we had Sting feeling like WCW turned his back. He's the fucking flagship. He is, what did they call him back then? It wasn't the flagship. It was
the franchise.
The franchise. He was the franchise. He was never not pushed. Sting was never not pushed. He was never not on a push.
For a year and a half.
But he was still the hottest thing because he was only showing up every now and then. He would show up in the rafters. He would haunt people. He would show up in Sting masks and he would fucking pull the mask off and then there was still his face underneath of it. It looked exactly the same. It was amazing. And then what do we get? Whenever we finally get the payoff match, the blow-off match, we get a fucking screw job finish from your boy Nick Patrick.
Tricky Nick. Bye
this
down.
Motherfucker. If you could rebook that match should have been two Stinger splashes and a Scorpion deathlock, and Sting wins the title and he keeps it. That's
forever.
It. Instead, he gets stripped of the title on fucking WCW Thunder, which is the worst idea. Not the worst idea that WCW ever had, because they've had very, very bad.
You're giving them far little credit.
Anyway, Sting was money. Like, he was merch. Even bigger NWO, I'm sure, if they would have just gave him that. And then he went to the Red and Black, and it just became part of the Wolfpack, and he just became kind of a joke after that. And that's the worst
Cheap,
thing.
Cheap. Bah.
So the question is, if there was an Attitude Era angle that we could rewrite, what would it be?
Yes, you could book differently from the Attitude Era.
I know what mine is. Mine would be, in the WCW invasion angle, I never would have had Austin join WCW. It still infuriates me.
That's a good one.
That Austin joined WCW. And that was when he started doing what? Which became an impenetrable part of his character, the what thing. And
it's the worst thing he ever gave wrestling.
I disagree.
Kumbaya. Like,
It still exists in the worst way. There are ways to employ it correctly if you're in the crowd. The
now
crowd
they just
usually
employs it to non-Americans.
Yeah. Right. Nakamura is one of the big ones.
Well, employ it basically ubiquitously. Like, it just happens all the time. But I never would have put Austin with I never would have put Austin with the WCW guys with Booker T. especially because Booker T should have been the head of that WCW invasion, but they neutered him as soon as he came in, and he never recovered.
I wonder why. They neutered still, everybody. Nobody went over.
Oh,
it's
shit.
They put Austin.
Eventually.
I'll wait.
They put Austin in there. No, go ahead. You can go now. You can rebut.
I'll wait. That's just I say Booker T's my answer, and then I'll just bring it full circle.
But I never would have put Steve Austin with the WCW guys. It seemed like a last-ditch effort to make the WCW guys feel important after you neutered the rest
of them. Well, they were scrambling to, just real quick before you jump in, they were scrambling because all those guys had contracts and all they did was sit at home and collect their money.
They could have made it tough, though.
Yeah, if they would have...
If Booker T would have came in the first night and fucked The Rock up,
yeah,
that would have been perfect.
We still would be talking about it differently.
Yeah.
We'd still be talking about it differently.
I agree.
All right, Murray.
This is like the tail end, and I guess technically it's Ruthless Aggression era, but I still count that as like the very last edge of the Attitude Era.
The Attitude Era.
It's ECW 2008. And I know that's quite a bit late, but they could have done it sooner. My beef with that is that they tried to rehash what it was when it was hardcore, when they could have just went with Paul Heyman's vision that it was going to, which was more kind of MMA, basically what I assume would to be more like New Japan Pro Wrestling, where it was going to be more, Taz was kind of the inspiration there for that.
Yeah.
They came in with the zombie and, you know, Kelly doing fake strip teases and, you know, CM Punk came out of that. That was great. Bobby Lashley got his start there. That was great. Big Show, as much as people hated and thought Big Show was awful in that time in ECW, I loved Giant Big Show.
Did he have another turn this week? Is that like the 78th, 79th turn?
He's gone again.
Give or take?
Yeah he turned against the bar again.
Yeah. But
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he knocked Cesaro out with a really weak punch.
I think he's injured, so.
Yeah, that figures. But yeah, so I just feel like they tried to, I think McMahon and them had it in their minds that when they did that ECW, it was just going to be for a few years and they were just going to have a sci-fi channel wrestling show. So they did all this weird shit instead of actually making ECW a decent brand, which would have turned into like NXT.
Yeah.
And stuff is basically what I think ECW would have evolved into if McMahon had still had control.
So which black wrestler would you put the belt on, Jason?
The one that Triple H decided that he was going to take, you know, go over at WrestleMania, where basically he was like, you know, you don't, this guy is not worthy of being champion. Oh, why isn't he worthy of being champion, Triple H? Yeah. Do tell.
I can't imagine.
They did a bunch of slave stuff.
For WrestleMania, to me, is like...
True. Yeah, they did.
It's the culmination of the ending of a feud. So basically, Triple H was a low-key racist all the way up to WrestleMania. So they have the match for the title.
Middle key?
I said low key. Okay.
Middle key?
Middle key, maybe? Question mark?
He's a racist. British.
They have, yeah, no shit. They have this fucking build all the way up to WrestleMania. And for WrestleMania, this is the one time where the bad guy gets the fucking comeuppance and Triple H goes over. Man, what the fuck is that?
You are not kidding, man. That is unbelievable that Triple H went over there. And Triple H went over against Sting, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what H went over against Randy Orton, too, after he broke into his house.
Right. Okay.
That dude has buried more guys than The Undertaker.
Hey-o!
Or any Undertaker.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. But that's the one that would still bug me to this day.
All right.
And I should have known that this is the way WWE is going to go on.
Next question. We got about 10 minutes.
All right. So, quick one, I think. What do you think Pete Dunne will hold the belt for 2 years? So he's at, what, 567 days right now?
It's actually Connor's question.
Oh, yeah.
Will he hold the belt for a total of 2 years?
Will Pete Dunne hold the NXT UK Championship? He's at 567 days. He's the longest reigning WWE champion currently. Will you think it'll be 2 years?
Jesus.
I'll jump in right now. Hell no. Walter is on the way.
Yeah.
They're going to build him up, and I shouldn't say feed him to Walter, but considering the size difference, you could probably go with that. Walter is going to be the highest thing on WWE UK, NXT UK.
Brutal.
As soon as he comes in, if you haven't seen him.
Within the next.
He just recently signed.
The way you make a star is you feed him to a star, And if Walter had not signed this week, I would have said yes. But Walter signed this week,
so I'm going to say
and
no.
And he's going over.
Merman.
I would have to say the same. Like, I want to see Pete Dunne hold on to it, but he'll get it back. And if he doesn't get it back, he'll get one of the other championships in the company. So, but yep. Walter's going to eat him alive.
Let's burn through these. Zach, what do you think?
I already said what I think. What about you?
I'll just take the over. I think that he'll hold it.
All right, so
he's such a fucking stud, man.
Okay,
he's
great. Just for the record, this is why I'm back on top on predictions, because you like to do silly shit like this. Since we were going to talk about it last week, conveniently when I'm back, let's talk about it again.
No, whenever Daddy's back. Whenever we left, I was like, hey, where were we at on predictions? I knew I did bad.
Yeah.
I did real bad.
That's okay. We can wait another week. Go ahead.
No, I went through it last week.
No, you didn't.
No, we didn't. That's why I asked you afterwards. You
trust me. Listen.
I said that you were at 58, Bill's at 55, Zach's at 54, Sam's at 47, and Murray's at a miserable 7.
I just started. You guys hadn't had me in predictions until now.
From the cellar.
You've been predicting the whole time.
That seven was straight up NXT.
I don't know why you kept picking the people that weren't in the matches. I don't
know. What is wrong with you?
I'm out until we do NXT predictions. That's all I got.
I'll say that Pete Dunne will hold it for 2 years.
Dumbass. Go ahead.
All right, so have you guys been watching World Tag League so far? If so, what do you think? And how awesome was it seeing Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. fight this morning?
That's from my man Cam Bigelow.
Cam Bigelow.
There are two tag teams that I love. I mean, the tag team tournament so far has been kind of boring. I watched the whole thing today. I will say that I love Yano and Ishii being together, because to me that's like the Japanese Rock and Sock connection. Like, they have no business being together at all. One's totally serious the entire time. The other one's totally goofy the entire
time. It's like Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr.
Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr. were my other one. Thank you for bringing it up. I like those guys being together. I like watching Zack Sabre Jr., period. I also like Yano.
Zack Sabre Jr. is like at least a 7 on the Dupree scale.
Oh, yeah, big old
7
dick.
7 out of 10.
Between him and Alistair.
Got big old dick.
Clearly, I'm not paying that close attention.
Oh, Joe Coffey?
Dupree.
It's like a baby's arm holding a grapefruit.
Yeah. Go ahead, Murray.
I agree.
World Tag League has been a major disappointment. I'll keep it brief. I'd like to see more upsets and better teams in the league itself. It just feels like it's way too top heavy. 3 or 4 teams got a chance, everybody else doesn't.
You know, I agree. Jason said that on Twitter. He's like, yeah, got to give BFR Zach his due. He said it was going to be boring, and it's pretty boring.
It is pretty boring.
It's been okay. It's definitely better than Raw, but I enjoy watching it more than that, but it's not as good as NXT or UK or whatever.
Do we have one more question real quick, lightning round?
Yeah, this is a good one. This is also from Cam Bigelow. There's one from Tim Blessing that I really like, but we don't have time for it. It's
Top five guys.
Yeah. We just can't do it. Sorry, Tim, but we will push it to the next one. It'll be the first one next time.
We will. Let's promise to do that for Tim Blessing.
Yes.
Yes.
Because thank you for submitting. I just sat in my car and I couldn't figure it out, so that's why we're not doing it. Cam Bigelow says, if you could book one storyline or rivalry to happen in 2019, what would it be and why? This is good.
Oh, shit. Just off the top of my head, it's got to be something with Velveteen Dream. I mean, he's in that gray area where either he's coming up or he's not. If he's not coming up, then you need to go ahead and start pushing him towards either the North American title or the WWE NXT title. Velveteen Dream versus kind of Ricochet is like the one thing that seems like it's just because it's coming off the top of my head. I wouldn't mind seeing for 2019.
I have a dream one that I've been thinking about for a couple of weeks, and it's Ciampa versus Jericho.
Oh, that's good.
That'd be amazing.
The promos alone.
That would be amazing.
The social media.
Mine's super quick, and I know everybody, I said it before, and I think I said it last week or the week before, and it's completely outrageous, but I want to see Taker put over Aleister Black as the new that guy. I know, but make it a squash. I know. It's unrealistic, but you want to know. They want to know what I want to do.
Black mass him before he takes the hat off.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Whatever. Black mass him before he takes the hat off. That'd be a perfect way to book it.
Undertaker is dead.
I want to see Pete Dunne and Daniel Bryan.
Ooh, yeah, okay. that'd be sweet. Okay. Real quick question, another one. Who has better eye makeup? Evil or Ronda Rousey?
Evil.
No, I'm just kidding.
Definitely
hey,
evil.
Hey, everybody. We know there's tons of podcasts to listen to. We appreciate the hell out of you listening to ours. Some birthdays. Jerry Lawler is 69. Zeb Coulter.
Nice.
Dutch Mantel is 69. JBL is 52. Dana Brooke is 30. Christian is 45.
R.I.P.
I fucking love Christian. Naomi's 31. Victor is 38. Miss Tessmacher, 34. Larry Zbysko is 65. Dynamite Kid is 60. Everybody for Sandler Muller Mall for
check.
Murray
check
for
Murray
Soul Taco
check.
For JD Twigs for Evan B. Eatery
check.
For Jason Cornelius Bell for Junior Zach Bowman. Did I say Sam?
Yes, you did.
Did I say
say yourself and say Shock City?
Oh, hey, I'm Bill Vegas, Shock City. Hey, everybody, boo the heels.
Boo.